it's available for everyone. The wine world has always been a little bit divided because there's more elitism in the wine world. There are always that kind of people that can afford the exclusive wines that no one else can afford. And that means that the wine world somehow is excluding some people, whereas the beer world is always open to anyone who has an interest. But of course, I'm all in the wine world. I really appreciate beer also in many ways. The wine world for me is also maybe even more culture, history culture, and something that we can find more deep information about. I mean, beer has been the thing that has been the right side of human being, mankind for so long, just like an everyday drink, survival drink, and the sort of exclusive development has come. Same rules to follow as in the wine world. As soon as you're from a district that is known historically, that there are so strict guidelines of what you can do, what you can't do, but you have the brand for free. If you are a Bordeaux or a Bourgogne or a little area in those really famous regions, you have your brand already since hundreds of years back in time. But that can also be a little bit of a weight to carry. It's not so easy to explore your experimental side in the wine world, at least in Europe. In the new world, new wine world, they can sort of more start from scratch by deciding what they want to do, and they do it. In Europe, it's very sort of decided from the beginning. You have to follow strict rules. But also in the wine world, you can choose. I mean, there's a wine for every occasion. There's definitely these cheap wines that also is a part of everyday life. But the gap up to the really high level end wines is so huge.
It's huge. It's huge.
If you compare to the wine, to the beer world, even the most expensive beer is still affordable for most.
Is the wine art or is it entertaining?
It's both.
It's both.
When the wines I choose for this place, it's always from vineyards that I visited and producers that I met. So I can see that they're serious artists, sort of, because it's very easy to shape a wine so it will please you and it will become mainstream and also function. I mean, so it's not always that the drink has to be in focus, it's the company and the occasion, and you're out on the beach with your friends having a jam session and you don't want to spend time working out how the wine should be as good as possible. And that's business and some kind of skill. But true art, that's when they work from morning till night and together with nature try to create a piece of art.
Is the winemaking, this is a men's world. Are the men making the most of wines? Same with the beer.
It is like that. It's of course changing a little bit, opening up, but somehow also in like vineyards, you know, in Europe they inherit their vineyard from many generations. And I've seen during all these years that I've traveled and studied that mostly if it's if the family has both a daughter and a son, the son manages the vine and the vineyard, and the daughter is like the marketing,
the marketing.
So yes, it's a man's world, but with exceptions. I have some really good female wine producers in my.
Do you think that the wine people are against the beer, or and the beer people, the wine? Do you see that there is coming a little bit of battle
I'm trying to figure out what there's a little. I think it's the respect from both sides, but it's a little bit like a big brother and little brother that they like mocking each other.
All
like,
right, yeah.
When I do wine tastings, for instance, and then they stay for dinner afterwards, I present the wines that I sell per glass to the dinner, and then I say, but if you want to drink a beer instead, I won't be offended, just a little, something like that.
Yeah, something
and they know exactly, you know, that it's a little bit between beer and wine world like that. But I usually, when people ask me for recommendations what to drink to their food, I always try to remind myself that sometimes don't force a wine to be the perfect match when you have the whole beer world, because it's like it's so much more forgiving and easy to also with our traditional Scandinavian cooking to find perfect match in the beer world. So sometimes you sort of lock yourself because you work with wine. So, oh, what wine? Oh my God! Yeah, that's the tan is going to crash with that. Oh no! We have the acidity. And then okay, wait. Let's move to this part, and then you suddenly have tons of options.
Yes.
That I teach enology wine at the university in Mariehamn, and something we're working really hard at the moment is when, if you see a. Like a drink list in any restaurant, you see the wine is like, this is a Bonavini from the organic vineyard with the grape, blah, 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 blah. And then beer, lager, and that's it.
That's it, yeah. Yeah.
And I don't understand that it's going so slowly that they don't get the same attention as the wines, because they're definitely just as much versatility.
What are the main differences there in the tasting world? What do you see? What do you find? What do you find like from wine?
Yeah.
And what from the beer? Is it part of the question?
Interesting that when you ask that in the email, because I started figuring out what the differences are. And realize that there aren't that many differences, actually. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, when you try a beer, you judge the foam and how it's acting. Yes. So that's the same a little bit with sparkling wines. You judge the bubbles and the quality of the bubbles. But otherwise, you follow the same schedule. You see if it's like clean and clear, and
clean.
If it's filtered or non-filtered, and if it's hazy or not, you do the same with wine.
And sometimes you want vanilla, and you citrus and any kind, like the same.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you can sort of directly interpret the schedule for wine tasting to beer. Like you always judge the tannins in wines. That's like the bitterness, and you do the same with the beer. But that's like
it's like a IPA that is coming here.
Wine has a different kind of acidity group. There's quite a lot of acidity in most wines of better quality because that's an antioxidant. You don't get really that much. Well, in the sour beer, of course, but the acidity level is more analyzed when you try a wine than in the beer world. But otherwise, it's the length and the taste group, the smell group, everything. It's
and,
quite the same.
And the space and atmosphere and everything it's included in that experience.
Yeah.
So this was here. It was all. But do you have something in your mind what you want to say to peer people or to some kind of message? You don't have to say it now, but to think about if you have something.
Now, since my sort of main passion in this drinking world is always the combinations between the drink and the food and create the magic there, And that's what I'm trying to sort of tell the people that come to my wine tastings, that you always have to remember that the drink is one thing when you drink it alone, and a completely other thing when you drink it together with something where it belongs, when you put it in its right moment. So never, if you think a beer is too heavy or too tough or too acidic or too bitter, don't exclude it before you have tried it where it's supposed to be. And the same with wine. I do tastings where I put really rough, tough wines, and most customers are like, "Oh!" And then, since I know how to do it, I put it in the perfect combination, and the wine just opens up. So you have to judge a drink twice, on its own, and in its right company. So that's something.